Only you and I as Christians can say that, by the way. We serve a great and mighty God. All the other false gods are insufficient. Turn with me tonight to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. There's a canister on the table out in the foyer, and I haven't put out slips of paper yet, but if you've got a slip of paper, you can use it. You read the canister, it'll say, it'll tell you that it's a preaching series. And the preaching series is entitled, Pastor, What About? ... And that's where you fill in the blank. And so if there's something that you've been, actually it's a Bible study series really on Wednesday nights. If there's something that you've been thinking, man, I wish Pastor would teach a lesson on whatever it is, okay? And if it's out of the Bible, we'll do that, and Lord willing, and we'll just see the response. But we may or may not get to all of them. We'll try to, but we're going to do that. I'll just be honest, I'm struggling between two series right now. I'm thinking about, and if we don't do this, you'll do it next year, do a summer in the Psalms, and just throughout the summer go through the book of Psalms. It won't be an exhaustive, obviously, because there are not that many weeks in the summer, but just pick some different Psalms out and do a summer in the Psalms, and we could do that really for several summers. We may do that, but at some point in the next few months, we'll be doing the series, the miscellaneous series on Pastor, What About? And you can fill in the blank if you're angels or whatever. We've done a series on that. But if there's a certain thing you'd like to hear teaching on, you just put it on a piece of paper, fold it up. That canister, you'll see it out there. You can just slip it right down the top, and we'll take and go through those and look at that, okay? Deuteronomy chapter number 11 tonight, and for sake of time, I want to start reading in verse number 18. We probably will back up and read a few other verses. Now, who's got their Bible tonight? All of you, many of you, you got your Bibles. Who knows how to read? All right, so we'll turn tonight. We're going to read some scripture. I want you to help me out, okay? So, Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse number 18. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Bible says, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart, in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much that you love us. God, I pray tonight you would help us. Lord, I pray you would illuminate your people, Lord, that you'd help us to behold something wonderful tonight in your word. I pray, God, you'd teach us. Holy Spirit of God, we need thee. We're nothing without you. I pray that, Lord, you would give us an unction to function. I pray tonight, Father, that you would cleanse me of my sin and to me of self. And, Father, help us to behold something great tonight that'll help us through the rest of the week and the rest of our lives. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to draw your attention, if I might, back to verse number 21 in our text. The Bible says that your days may be multiplied, the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, and watch this phrase, underline it, as the days of heaven upon the earth. As the days of heaven upon the earth. For the next few moments, I just want to bring a message entitled, A Taste of Heaven Here on Earth. A Taste of Heaven Here on Earth. It is possible, based on the Word of God, if we meet the conditions, if we meet the criteria, if we meet the stipulations that the Lord has set, for you and I, believe it or not, to have a little bit of heaven on earth. Here in verse number 21, he paints Moses here writing to the children of Israel under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He paints a wonderful picture of a family living in unity and harmony here on this earth. Notice with me again, or just jump over to verse number 26 of this same passage, the same chapter, chapter 11, verse number 26. I want you to notice what he says here. He says, behold, I set before you this day, watch this, a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Other words, listen. God says through his prophet Moses, he says, I've set before you a blessing and a curse. And here's the deal. It's your choice. It's my choice. And I want you to understand, too often times we have the attitude that because you're a Christian and because one day we're going to inherit heaven, and I'm still glad it does get better than this life further on down the road. Amen. We're thankful for that. But oftentimes, because of the fact that we're Christians and we're looking for that blessed hope, our lives, sometimes we think that means on this earth, our lives automatically ought to be hell on earth. It's as if we think that this life is about enduring, it's about holding on or holding out and doing all we can to get through this life so we can get to the next life. Can I tell you, that's never been God's intentions for you and I here on this earth. That we just hold on and hold out and endure and try to just survive to get through to the next life. Understand, while we as Christians no doubt will suffer in this life, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. No doubt we'll shed tears. No doubt we'll suffer and experience pain. No doubt we'll have problems. No doubt there'll be trials. Listen, no doubt those things are going to happen in our life, and some of them just because of the fact that we're Christians. But understand, God has given us a wonderful opportunity in this life, despite all that, to still experience a little bit of heaven on earth. And he left the choice up to us. Do you understand? You are where you are tonight. I am where I am tonight because of choices that we've made. Every one of us. All of us. And those out there in the world and those suffering and those going through so much turmoil. By and large, I know there's exceptions to the rules. By and large, they are there because of choices and decisions that they have made, and their life is messed up because they messed it up. He left the choice up to us. He says, I've set before you a blessing and a curse, and it's up to you which one your life becomes. It's up to you, Christian, what kind of life that you live. God's purpose for mankind, and especially those who follow him and are saved, has always been twofold. The two main things. We know ultimately our lives to glory and bring glory and honor to the Lord and to glorify him. But twofold, really, his ultimate plan is for you and I to live with him eternally, for eternity in heaven. He wants us to be with him forever in heaven. I'm glad one day we will be. Amen. But understand, the second part of his plan is being fulfilled even right now while you and I are here upon this earth. I want you to understand this. God's not confused about what's going on in your life. God's not confused about the fact that you're here on earth. God's not confused about everything that's happening and taking place in your life. You're not accidentally here, but understand it's part of God's plan. And just like it's God's plan to give us one day, give us good things one day in heaven, he says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. Just like it's his intentions to one day give us wonderful, great things that even I hadn't seen or ear heard. It hasn't even entered in the heart of man. He wants to give us those things in heaven, in glory. I want you to understand, he also wants to give us some things here on this earth. God also wants us to be happy and have a good life here upon this earth. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Understand, God's a whole lot more concerned about your holiness than he is your happiness. But here's the thing, and here's where so many people get off base and so many people miss the mark and don't understand. Those things are not in competition with one another. You understand that? Holiness and happiness are not in competition with one another. Instead, one of them complements the other. You get the holiness right, and I'll promise you happiness will be there. You get it one right, and the other will be there. Holy people, I've learned, are happy people. Let me tell you, the most miserable people I've seen on the face of this earth, they might be saved, but they're carnal Christians. They're miserable because they don't fit in anywhere. They don't fit in with the world's crowd. They know it ain't worth somewhere they ought to be and people they ought to be hanging around. And then they come around people that's living right and doing right, and they got a walk for God. They got a love for the Lord. And I mean, they're just having a time here on this earth serving Jesus, and they know they don't fit in that crowd either, and they're miserable. Holy people are happy people. God said we can have a little taste of heaven right now while on this earth. In fact, it was God's plan from the beginning. Do you remember that the Lord first, He placed the first man and the first woman ultimately into paradise? Do you understand that? Look, when God put Adam and Eve upon this earth, He didn't put them on the backside of nowhere. He didn't put them out there in the middle of a desert. He didn't put them up on the mountain wilderness place. No, He sent them right inside of a paradise with all the food they needed, all the stuff they needed, all the beauty they needed. God's original plan for you and I while we're here is to bless us. And He set before them a blessing and a curse. But they chose the curse. He said, if they eat thou of, you're going to be cursed. You're going to surely die. There are some things that if we're going to get to heaven, there are some things that we're going to get in heaven that we can, to some extent, have now. I want to give you five things just by way of introduction quickly, and then we'll move on to the lesson tonight. Number one, something we're going to get in heaven that we can have it right now. God wants to give it to us. Number one, perfect peace. This is introduction. Perfect peace. I need you to help me with some scriptures because I want to rush through this, okay? We got to get to the message. I got 25 points. No, I don't have that many. Perfect peace. First of all, He says He's going to give us perfect peace in heaven. And so somebody go to Revelation chapter number 21, verse 4. And I'm going to let you all get these on the heaven side, and I'll get the earth side, okay? So Revelation 21, verse number 4. Somebody else go ahead and get Psalm 16:11. We'll be there in a minute, okay? Revelation 21, verse number 4. So, we're going to have perfect peace. We'll see in a minute in heaven, but God wants to give it to us here on earth. Who's got that? Revelation 21, verse 4. Go ahead, Miss Pam.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Sounds good, doesn't it? Peace. Peace. I want to read to you how he's going to give us perfect peace in heaven. We see that. Now He's going to give it to us. He wants to give it to us on earth. He says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him, one of my favorite verses, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Did you know, Christian, contrary to what so many think and believe, you can have perfect peace right here on this earth. You don't have to wait till you get to glory to live in peace. He says He'll give us perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We'll say some more about that as we get into the message. Not only perfect peace, we're going to get in heaven, we can have now, but fullness of joy. Who's got Psalm, the 16th Psalm, verse 11? Go ahead, Miss Ashley. Okay, so in heaven there's going to be fullness of joy. At His right hand there's pleasures forevermore. But listen, on earth, John 15 verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy, Jesus says, might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He was talking to His disciples who had been left here on this earth. He said that your joy might be full. Do you know we can have fullness of joy here on this earth? He says, that's your choice. We're going to see in a minute how we have it. Not only that, not only perfect peace, not only fullness of joy, but deliverance from sin. Somebody get Revelation 21, verse 27. Revelation 21, verse 27. And for the next point here in a minute, somebody go ahead and get 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Who's got Revelation 21, 27? Go ahead, Miss Kara. He says there's no wise going to enter anything into heaven. We're talking about having deliverance from sin. Nothing's going to enter into heaven. It says anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. Hallelujah. When we get to heaven, we'll not be bombarded or surrounded by sin. Be delivered from it. But listen, on earth, Romans chapter 6, verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Watch this. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Paul said this. He says, reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto Christ. Did you know you can have deliverance from sin even right now? I'm not just talking about for salvation. I'm talking about for sanctification. You can be delivered from a life of sin. It's your choice. You don't have, here's the thing. Before you got saved, you simply had a sin nature, and the only thing you could do is sin. But thank God when you got saved, you got a new nature. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And because of the fact now you've got the Spirit dwelling in you, you've got a choice about the matter. You don't have to live in sin. Sin shall have no more dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. And so we got to choose every day whether or not we're going to serve God. That's why Paul said, I die daily. We can be in this life delivered from sin. Oh, listen, Christian, you ought to not be in bondage of sin any longer. Not only that, something else we're going to gain in heaven, but we can have now, is the presence of Christ. Who's got 1 Thessalonians 4:17? In heaven, we're going to have the presence of Christ. Go ahead, Miss Debbie. Hallelujah. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Boy, when the big bell rings, when he blows that trumpet, I'm talking about we meet the Lord in the air. We shed the stuff of this life. We're changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, right there in the air. We're changed. We get our glorified body. But the Bible says this, so shall we ever be with the Lord forever. That'll be a wonderful time. Amen. But this is what he says on earth. You know Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, hopefully very well. It's one of the verses we quote as the Great Commission, the main five. He says in verse number 19, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Then he says this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Listen, said his disciples, he sent them out, and lo, I will be with you always, even till the end of the world. We can have the presence of Jesus Christ even now. Always, he said, lo, I'll be with you always. I'm glad the Bible still tells us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, don't you understand? Just because he said, lo, I'll be with you always, doesn't mean he's not with you in the plane. I remember one fellow said, now, wait a minute, he was afraid of flying. He says, look, God's with you. You know God's always there, and you don't have to worry about anything. He's going to protect you. He says, the Bible says, lo, I'll be with you always. Can't use that one. The point I want to get across to you is you don't have to wait to live. Amen? You don't have to put your life on hold and just assume some vain, miserable existence while you're here upon this earth. I see so many Christians walk around and they're defeated. So many people I talk to, some of them preachers, man, and it's like they're just getting through and they're just trudging on and they're just enduring and they're just, listen, I understand weeping may endure for the night, but I'm glad joy still comes in the morning and we don't have to live that kind of life. We don't have to put our life on hold, but man, God can be real to you now. You can have perfect peace now. You can experience the fullness of joy now, and you can have deliverance from your sin now. We can have all of it in this life now. You can have a little taste of heaven here on earth. I want you to notice one other thing by way of introduction. We're promised in heaven that we can have now. Not only the presence of Christ, but the privilege to serve. I'll read these two to you here. In heaven, Revelation 22, verse number 3, you've got the New Jerusalem. The scene is the New Jerusalem's coming down out of heaven. 22nd chapter of Revelation there says this, and there shall be no more curse. Amen. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Watch this. And his servants shall serve him. So many people think, boy, in heaven you're going to be flying around and have a harp and we're going to be like an angel. Ain't nothing like that, okay? Bible doesn't paint that picture. Go back and get the series we preached some time ago. You know, you're not going to have a harp. You're not going to have wings. You're not an angel, all right? You're a created being. They're created beings. You're made in the image of God. You're going to do much of the things that you do right now. Why do you think there's 12 fruits, one for every month on the tree of life? You can eat, but you won't have to eat. We don't have time to go into all of it right now. We'll do a series again on it. But the Bible says here that his servants shall serve him in heaven, in glory. Look on earth, John 15, 16. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Jesus said, "The reason I put you on earth, this is the reason I ordained you. This is the reason I called you. This is the reason I have saved you and commissioned you that you should bring forth fruit here on this earth right now." I'm so thankful that we have a privilege to serve. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven before I start serving Jesus. I can start right now serving the one who died for me. We have a privilege to serve. So, here we see that not only are we promised heaven in the future, not only are we promised the wonderful blessings in the future when we get to heaven, and that's when we will receive the full manifestation of these blessings, no doubt about it, but God says very clearly here in His Word that there's a way to experience at least a measure of these blessings right here and now. There's a way to experience a foretaste of heaven even now. Once again, in verse number 21, He says that the days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land, so the Lord swearing to your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. And it all depends on, listen to me, this is the trick, this is the key, this is what I want to talk about. It all depends on what we do with the Word of God. You want me to tell you the people whose life is messed up the most, saved or lost? It's the people whose life is the most contrary to that book right there. God has designed us to live a certain way. And when we do not live that way, and He's given us, by the way, the instructions right here. And when we do not live that way, understand things aren't going to go well for you. Things are not going to be good in your life. Your home's not going to be good. Your happiness is not going to be good. Nothing in your life is going to be good. None of it's going to work out if you do it contrary to the owner's manual. It all depends on what we do with the Word of God. The quality of your life and my life is directly tied to our attitude and to our obedience of the Word of God. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 through 21, as we was looking at it, we're instructed to do five things with the Word of God that if we're faithful to do, it will result in a little bit of heaven on earth. God says, "I've set before you this day a blessing and a cursing." You know, the reason that so many people's lives, so many Christians' lives are such a wreck is because they failed to honor and to heed the Word of God. Number one, quickly, we're to lay up God's Word in our heart. It's all about what we do with the Word of God. Look at me at verse number 18. "Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul." You know what that means? That means that we're not merely supposed to store the Word of God in our heart and not merely in our head, but He says all the way in your soul. Psalm 119 verse 11 says this, and we are to hear the Word. Says, let's look at it. Psalm 119 verse 11. I want you to turn there if you will. Hold your place here. Psalm 119 verse 11. Psalm 119, look with me at verse number 11. You know it, but I want you to mark it. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You want to know one of the biggest reasons that I don't do many things that I don't do? God's word. When we hide His word in our heart, and when we're just about to do that thing, boy, that word comes out in our conscience, doesn't it? That word comes to our mind. We're to hide God's word in our heart, and we are to hear the word, we're to believe the word, we're to receive the word, we're to apply the word, we're to translate the word, and then we're to daily live the word of God. It's not just about what we hear. He said, hide it in your heart. We're to hide His word. It said in verse number 18, "Therefore lay up these words in your heart." There's a world of people walking around out here with God's word in their head. Got God's word in their head and their life's a mess. How many of you have knocked on somebody's door and they can quote as much more scripture than you can? I have. I mean, I've knocked on people's door and they got the Bible down. But their life's a wreck. Because they've got the word here, but they don't have the word here. And He says here that we're to lay up His word in our heart. Those folks, their home is a mess because they've never let the word of God penetrate their heart. I want to go quickly, hold your place, Deuteronomy, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, somebody get verse number 2. Anyone? Who's got it? Go ahead, Miss Dawn. See that? The word didn't profit them. You said, preacher, the word of God always profits. His word won't return void. Oh, no, listen, I want you to understand something. It says, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Can I tell you something? Unless you believe the word and you apply the word and you live out the word in your life, it can't help you. It's part of that choice we got to make. You want a little heaven on earth or you want a little hell on earth? It all has to do with what we do with the Word of God. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And God says, if you want your life now to be a little bit of heaven on earth, you need to lay up my words in your heart, not only in your head. And so in our quest and endeavor for to have heaven now and heaven on earth, we got to ask ourselves these questions. Are we allowing the Word of God to govern our lives? Do we live by what thus saith the Lord? Do we live by this book? Does our life follow this book? I heard somebody say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, you got it wrong. God said it, that settles it, no matter if you believe it or not. Amen. And everything doeth us. God said it, that settles it. If we're going to live by God's standard, by His Word, we got to lay up His Word in our heart. The Bible says, one of my favorite verses, Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Got to hide God's Word in our heart, and you'll be amazed at how much better this life will become. God's way just works better. Give you a second thing quickly. I'm trying to move. We're to not only lay up God's Word in our heart, we're to keep God's Word always before us. We're to keep God's Word always in front of us. Look at verse number 18. Therefore shall I lay up these words, these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that it may be as frontlets between your eyes. Frontlets. When it talks about frontlets, this is talking about Jewish custom. It's talking about things that the Jews would do, little things that they would use. It's talking about the custom of wearing phylacteries. That's what they call them, phylacteries. These were little boxes, and these little boxes would contain little portions of scriptures which were worn on their arm or worn on their forehead, and Jews would carry that scripture around. Scripture, of course, then to them was the Old Testament, what we're reading now, or a lot of it. And so they would carry that around and in those little boxes, those little phylacteries, and it was frontlets before their eyes. And so what he's saying here, in other words, our eyes and our hands, watch this, are to be governed by the Word of God. Our eyes and our hands, everything we see, watch this now, everything we see ought to be filtered, and how we see it ought to be filtered through the Word of God. The way we see things in our society ought to be filtered through the Word of God, because it's only when we filter it through God's Word that we see clearly what's right and what's wrong. Can I tell you this? In our society, there's a whole lot of people that's screaming a whole lot of things. And they're talking about tolerance, and they're talking about love, and they're talking about how we need to embrace. And listen, I'm for loving people. We need to love people, and we need to show compassion to people. I'm not talking about being mean or unkind, but listen, we don't mean we need to compromise, and it does not mean that we need to sell out the Word of God. We have to filter. What? Listen, he says it should be frontless before the eyes. It's not how I see it or how you see it. It's how God sees it that ought to matter to us. Because it's only when we filter it through God's Word we can see things clearly. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. All the ways, well, left up to us, we're always right. Left up to us, I've been guilty of it, and no doubt you've been guilty of it. It's easy to hate somebody else's sin, isn't it? It's easy to look out there and see what they're doing and see how they're missing the mark and how they're messing up. But understand, when we start looking at the Word of God in light of my life, look at the Word of God in light of your life, we see things differently. It should be as frontless before thine eyes. What we see and what we do are to be in line with God's truth. There are millions of different decisions that we have to make every single day as Christians. Think about the decisions we have to make. Is it right to go here? Is it right to do this? Is it right to look at that? Is it right to say that? Politically, there are all kinds of decisions that we have to make. Well, should I vote for this person that's for abortion? Should I vote? You know, all those political decisions. You know how we settle the issue? Morally, there's all kinds of decisions we had. Well, should I wear that or should I do that or all these moral things that we come up against? You know how we settle it? The Word of God. It ought to be as frontless before thine eyes. Politically, morally, socially, how we deal with others in our business, in the business world, how we deal with others, all that, and just the social environment that we're in so oftentimes socially, how we interact with other people. God tells us how to interact with other people. It's not how we think. Well, they did this to me, so I'm going to do this. That's your understanding. God says, love them that hate you, do good to them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you, right? That's why it's the Word of God that has to be filtered through. All these things that we have financially, not only socially, morally, and politically, but financially. We got decisions to make. How do we make them? The Word of God. You understand? He says, I've set before you a blessing and a curse. And the difference, if you'll read the passage, the difference is what we do with the Word of God. The Bible, if we lead our own understanding, our own thinking, we're going to make the wrong decision. But the Bible here has the answer. If we will immerse ourselves in His Word, we'll always have the right answer. Notice what else He says. He says, bind them upon your hand. Talking about the Word of God. Other words, filter your actions through His Word. Filter the things that you do on a daily basis through the Word of God. That's our filter. That's our check. That's what keeps us going the right direction. Bind them upon your hand. Let them be frontless between your eyes. Filter all your decisions through God's Word so that we see and do everything in the light of the Lord's Word. God says, if you'll always make decisions based on my word, if your actions always line up with my word, He says here, your days will be as the days of heaven up on earth. Too often times, the last place we go when deciding what to do is the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, Christian, it ought not be so. And that's how we end up in a mess. I've been amazed how many times If you come to me, I'll do my best to give you the Word of God, do my best to give you a Bible answer if you come to me about a certain situation, what it is. And you don't have to come to me at all. But what usually happens, I was talking to somebody about this week, what usually happens is people do what they want to do, and then a few months later, maybe a year later, however long later, they want to come to me then and they want me to fix it. And wave a magic wand because they did what they wanted to do. Well, I'm going to tell you what God says to do. I'll give you the Word of God. Notice the third thing. We're to teach God's Word to our children. These are some things. Well, you want heaven on earth? Look at verse number 19. And you shall teach them your children. Speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He says, you shall teach them to your children. Somebody go to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. Proverbs 22, verse number 6. You know, the average young person today is very ignorant about the truth of God's Word. I'm sure a lot of adults are. But especially the average young person, when I was growing up, and that wasn't that long ago, by the way. What are you laughing about, Terry? You older than me.
Hey, when I was growing up, I remember I was in Awana's. Of course, we had them here for a while. We're doing King's Kids now. But I mean, there was a lot of young people who knew Scripture. And there's some today. I know there's some that do. But not like they used to. Who's got Proverbs 22, verse 6? Who's got that? Go ahead, Miss Debbie. He says, teach them, your children. Every young person don't know anything about the Word of God, and they're ignorant about the truths in God's Word. We wonder why they make such dumb decisions. They're just doing what they think's right. They haven't been taught any better. They haven't been taught the Word of God, and they're ignorant about the truths of God's Word because parents are not making it a priority to teach and to train their children in the Word of God. You know, something we teach them about, our favorite ball team, baseball, basketball, football team. We teach our young people all the statistics. We teach them about so-and-so and how good he was, and we teach them all that stuff. We spend hours teaching them about some athlete or about how to be an athlete. We spend hours training them how to throw a ball. I believe fathers ought to do those things. I've done it, and I'm doing it again over. It's time again. Carter's there. So, hey, we spend time doing those things, and I still got it too, by the way. But we teach them all these things. Spend hours teaching them how to throw a ball, how to hit a ball, and hours running them to practice, running them around to ball camps. And we teach them how to ride a bicycle, how to fly a kite, how to build a model car, and how to tie a knot. And nothing wrong with those things. But if you're not teaching your children, listen, the Word of God, you're missing the main part about being a parent. You're missing the most important part. Sadly, few children have the privilege that Timothy had. You know the verse, I'll read it to you. 2 Timothy, a couple verses, chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Paul is writing to young Timothy and he tells him, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy had a faithful grandmother, Lois and Eunice, faithful mother, that taught him the Word of God. There are few people that have had the privilege, and because of it, they're handicapped for life, and they can never figure out how their life, why it's messed up. They can never figure out how to have a little bit of heaven on earth. Your child needs the Word of God. My child needs the Word of God. Here, in giving his prescription for a happy life, God encourages all parents to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, he says in Ephesians chapter 6, I think, verse number 4. And what happens many times is our children grow up without being taught the Word of God. Our children grow up and we get to the place where they're out on their own, and we get to the place where they get caught up in the world, and now you're getting caught. Now listen, I want to say this. That can happen even if you've taught them the Word of God. But it's a whole lot more apt to happen if they don't know the Word of God. There's no spiritual compass. There's nothing for them to measure their deeds by. But so oftentimes, folks come up, and they may have come up in church, but don't teach them the Word of God. And now they're getting calls in the middle of the night to come and get your son or come and get your daughter out of jail. You lay awake many nights worried about them, and now because as parents you failed to teach them the Word, instead of being life, it's a little heaven on earth, it's become hell on earth. While you should be enjoying grandbabies and should be enjoying wonderful holiday families with your children in those golden years, instead your life is chaos. Your child's lives are a mess. Understand, it's so important to teach your children the Word of God. He said, "I've set before you a blessing and a curse. It's your choice. All depends on what you do with my Word." Notice the fourth thing. We're to speak God's Word all day. Look at verse number 19. It says, "When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." You're not going to sit at too many lunch tables with me that we don't talk about the Word of God. It just
overflows in me. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm just being honest. I love talking about the Word of God. One of the things I love about these preachers' meetings that we're having, that we're involved in, is that you sit with those preachers and talk about the Word of God and have a friendly debate about a certain passage of Scripture or a certain Bible character, whatever the case is. And I love talking about it. A lot of people don't like to talk about the Word of God. A lot of Christians don't care about talking about the Word of God. I know preachers, listen to me, that outside of the church, they don't want to talk about the Word of God are spiritual things. I'll bring it up. We'll make a comment. They may say one or two things, and they change the subject every single time. I've known preachers that I know for 10, 15 years that are that way. They don't care about talking about spiritual things or the Word of God. He says, do it when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, speak about, talk about the Word of God. Listen, it's not a hobby for me. It's not a job for me. But I'm always, somewhere or another, my mind is thinking about the Word of God, thinking about something. Most times, I go down the road, my stereo's turned completely down, and there's something, man. There's something. I'll tell some of you young preachers this. You're going to get a little bit of a flash for one of these lessons down the road that's coming up. If you're not willing to wrestle with a passage of Scripture, get out of the ministry. I'm serious. If you want God to show you something, you got to wrestle with that thing, man. I mean, you got to meditate. You got to wrestle. You got to mull it over and spend time and beg God to show you more and deeper and go further with that passage of Scripture. I remember several times we've been on vacation with, you know, my friend, Brother Sam, and his family. And I remember the last time, you know, by the way, I don't take a vacation from the Lord. We go to church. Amen. But also, we talk about the Word of God. We're sitting out on the balcony out there, and we was talking about the Word of God. Most of every time we went out there, we was talking about the Word of God. He says, talk about it when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. Talk about the Word of God all day and every day. Can I tell you something? There's so much nonsense that people are talking about. You hear it every single day, more than I do, because I'm not around as much that mess as you are. So much nonsense that people go on with. Somebody ought to be talking about the Word of God and what it says. I remember when Carter was just a couple months old. Seriously, he was maybe a month or two old, and I began to talk to him about the Word of God, began to talk to him about the Lord. I remember specifically him sitting there at the house, and I began to say to him, you know Jesus loves you? Do you know that He created you in His image? You know God wants to save you? Just as a small little boy. He says, well, now sit us in thine house. And he said, well, now walk us by the way. I'm not going to turn there, but you know Luke 24. Brother Mock talked about it on Sunday night. There, the disciples on the Emmaus Road, they're walking. The Bible says the Lord opened unto them the Scriptures and expounded unto them the things concerning Himself. And their hearts begin to burn. When thou walkest by the way, when you're out walking, when you're out doing things, going through your day-to-day, what a health benefit that is when you walk and meditate upon the Word of God. I've learned something happens to me. I don't know, y'all figured it out probably. Something happens to me when I start moving. Like, if I just sit still, I probably couldn't say anything if you tie me down, you know. But I have to, when I'm on the phone, my wife will tell you, when I get on the phone, I get up and I start walking. I don't know why I do it, I just do. I walk outside, I walk around out. I walk when I talk, and I think better when I walk. So I have to walk around. And so many times we'll walk around the neighborhood, it's starting to get warm enough to do that again, and we're just thinking and meditating on the Word of God. Begin the day with God's Word, thinking about the Word of God. And throughout your day, walk with God, meditate. You're going from the water cooler to the restroom, or from wherever you are to the other place, whatever, but be meditating and thinking about the Word of God. If you'll make this your habit, these days on earth can be the days of heaven. Days of heaven on earth. You wonder why we stay so tore up all the time and can't sleep. It's because our mind's on anything and everything besides what our mind ought to be on, the Word of God. I want to give you a last one quickly. We're to display God's Word in our home. It's all about the Word of God. Look at verse 20. Thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. The doorpost of thine house, your house, and upon your gates. What's it mean? Well, it means that we're to honor God's word in our home. Once again, you walk very far in our house. You don't see a Bible laying there. I got a Bible. You know, I say it's that big. It is. Sometimes if I'm going to a meeting and I leave my Bible here on my desk a lot of times, because at home I read that Bible. And if I got to carry that thing, it literally will break your hand, arm, trying to hold it up, because it's a big, I bought it at Crown years ago. I don't know why I bought the big old Bible. But anyway, it's right there laying on the counter. You walk in, you don't walk very far, you start seeing pictures with scripture verses on them and Bible verses. You open up the laundry door, and I guess it's still, I'm paying attention. There used to be an ABCs of the Bible there in the laundry room. And many times there's a verse on the refrigerator. And my wife strategically placed, and I know she strategically placed it, right? Who knows? I'm not going to get vulgar, but I'm going to get a little bit visual for a minute. Who knows that women sit down when they use a restroom? Men stand up. Right behind our commode, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love does not envy. Love does not... All of it. Took the whole walk, not did. Yes. But we got several pictures of wall hangings, Joshua 24, verse 15, and all those. And people shouldn't have to go far in your home before it's evident that you're a home that makes much of God's word. Much of God's word. Notice the question in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 15. Hezekiah there. It's the story of Hezekiah. Hopefully you know it. He said, what have they seen in thine house? You remember he brought in all the popular people, all the kings and rulers around the world, showing off all the blessings of God, really touting himself for all the people. And God took it away from him later, by the way. That's not the point I want to make. But watch what he says. And he said, what have they seen in thy house? What's your answer to that question? What have they seen in thy house? Those that come in, do your visitors know immediately that it's a Christian home? Do they see the Word of God? Do they see a Bible laying there that doesn't have dust on the top of it, by the way? Have you made Joshua's vow? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'll never forget a lady who I grew up with when I was a kid coming by our house one day, and she had some way met up with my mom, and they came over, and we were there, and I think we don't a lot of times have, we actually took the thing out we used to have in there, but we used to have a player sitting there, and we'd have gospel music on, and so now we got a clock in the bedroom. But anyway, and you know, she come in, and she had lived a life. Her life was a mess. Her life, and I kid you not, she came in, her whole countenance changed when she walked in, and she just stood there kind of scared me a little bit, this way she acted, and she just kind of, you know, and she said, she come in and she said, I counseled with her, I prayed with her, she was dealing with things. I'll never forget, she walked in, she says, there's just such a spirit here. She said, I can't explain it. She said, there's just a sense of the presence of God, just a calmness. Just a sense of the presence of God. How many people's home have you been to where everybody's screaming and cursing at one another and throwing things and everything's a mess? I've been to people's home who acted like I wasn't even there, like they didn't care if I was there or not. I thought, man, they're going to fight right here with a preacher here. I'm serious. I'm being honest. I'm talking about fist fight. I've been in homes like that. Since I've been a pastor, I've been in homes like that. And I'm telling you, I've been so oftentimes at people's homes and it's a wreck, it's a mess, but it's because the Word of God is not dwelling in that home. The Word of God is not prevalent in that home. It doesn't have the preeminence in that home. And can I tell you something? That usually leads to a home that's hell on earth. Usually leads to a home of chaos and a home that's in a mess. Home shouldn't be a place, listen, where husbands dread coming home. Home shouldn't be a place where children hate being there. I can't get rid of mine. I'm trying to figure out, maybe I need to throw some. Home shouldn't be a place like that. These are simple conditions that must be fulfilled if we're going to experience the days of heaven upon earth. Lastly, I want you to just think about this quickly. As we give the written word of God, the scriptures, the written word of God, its rightful place, okay? The living word of God will automatically take his rightful place. Understand, the two words, which is really one word, the word became flesh and dwelt among them. We beheld his glory, the glory is only begotten of the Father. Listen to me, they're inseparable. And if we would have much of him, I'm talking about the word incarnate, then we're going to have to make much of his word, the word of God, the scriptures. You can't separate the two. Listen, if you want to have a whole lot of the Lord, then you're going to have a whole lot of his word. And if you have a whole lot of his word, what you're going to find out is you're going to have a whole lot of the Lord, because the two are inseparable. It's not hard. This isn't tricky stuff. Our prayer in 2019 is draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Our hope and our desire is to get closer and to get closer and to get closer to the Lord and have a home that's truly a Christian home and a godly home. And listen, the way to heaven on earth is to know the Word of God, to love the Word of God, to live by the Word of God, to obey the Word of God, to demonstrate and live out the Word of God in your life, and to operate our lives according to the Word of God. First of all, we need to have our hearts filled with the Word of God. Second of all, we need to have our eyes fixed upon the Word of God. Thirdly, we need to have our tongue filtered by the Word of God. You understand? It all has to do with how we treat the Word of God in our life. I'm telling you, the people who do these things, they found the secret to heaven on earth. You may look at them and you may think, man, they don't have nothing as far as this life goes. They don't have many material things. They don't have a whole lot of money. But every day they live, though still on this earth, every day they live with a measure of blessings that one day they'll receive the full portion. And it's because they found the secret and they've obeyed the instruction regarding God's Word. I'm glad tonight this world's not my home. I'm glad it gets better farther on. But while we're here, I like to experience just a little bit of heaven on earth. Why have we got to make it hard? Why does it automatically have to be a drudge? Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, Christians have dual citizenship on earth and in heaven. And our citizenship in heaven ought to make us better people here on earth. The fact that we're children of God, the fact that we have a home in heaven, it ought to make us a little bit better people here on earth. Amen. Well, if we would just obey and follow God's word, we could have a taste of heaven here on earth. Hope these are some principles that will help you as we move forward in 2019, thinking about how we can draw closer to the Lord, nearer to the Lord, and have a greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's open up the floor for